speaking, and I thought, God spoke everything into existence. Oh, I know, he was talking about, you know, it's not our own selves, it's what God says. It's God's word. And that's true about everything, and we don't understand that. We don't understand that whatever God says goes, and we think says, because I say something, but when God says something, it materializes. You know, God's words are more powerful than just us speaking. You know, we say something. That's why it's the Bible tells us to be mindful of what comes out of our mouth, because words are powerful. You know, you could say a word to a small child. I heard something the other day that before the age of 7, children just accept things as truth, and so whatever you say to them, it's just written in their brain as truth. They're not able to rationalize what you're saying or reason it out. So that's why you have to be mindful of what comes out of your mouth. You know, you could say, hey, you're a brat. You know, so that kid's going to think their whole life they're going to have to deal with that, going, I'm a brat. You know, this person who I trust said I'm a brat. And then they have to reason that out. And they go, well, I must be. You know, mom's mom said things to her as a child, and it literally changed the whole course of her life. And she behaved a certain way because of things her mom said. So, words are powerful. And that's just human words. So God, when God speaks, things happen. And so when he says, you're righteous, like David was saying, it's not you. You're not righteous. It has nothing to do with you. He didn't all of a sudden, you know, say, well, David is righteous. No, I'm righteous in Christ. And that's awesome, because that means I don't have to do it. If I have to do it, it ain't happening. It ain't going to happen, because there's nothing good in me. The Bible says, no man is good, no, not one. And that could be depressing, or that could be totally freeing. To me, it's freeing. Man, that sets me free to know that it's God's going to do it all. A few weeks ago, I got into discussion because a lady posted something online about, you know, you have to say the name of God correctly or you're not going to heaven. And I got into it with her. And oddly enough, I was on Facebook this morning and that same woman popped up with another video. And I was like, gee whiz, lady, you need to stop. You are, she said, she was talking about where Paul said, she was talking about, you know, you can't always be saved. Sometimes you could do something and lose your salvation. She goes, you know, when Paul says you have to work out your salvation, I'm like, you do not understand what that scripture means. Once you give your life to Christ, the Bible says over and over again, your life is in the palm of his hands, and nothing, not even yourself, can take it out of the palm of his hand. It's not talking about your salvation to go to heaven. It's talking about here on earth. You got to spend time with God. That's working out, you know. When you fall in love with somebody, you don't immediately just give up on yourself. You still have a lot of love for yourself in there, in yourself. It's hard for a person not to be selfish. We're all selfish. That's the problem with the world, is they think, well, people can just be good. I like listening to, what's his name, that guy that does psychology that's so famous. But he thinks people can be good. It's like, no way, we cannot be good. That's people's problem. If you start off with the idea. So I listen to a lot of evolution creation things, and they say, we can look at the same rock, and a creationist will say this, and an evolutionist will say that. It's because you have to know where your foundation is. Our foundation is God. Their foundation is, we hate God. Anything but God. And so, I don't even know where I was going with that. Anyway, we have to, It's good to know where your foundation is, because then you can, when you speak with authority. And people have to listen, because you're not speaking your own words. I was saying this on Tuesday night, that we speak with the authority of God. So as a manager, when Jeff tells somebody to go do something, they can go and do it. And if somebody questions them, they go, Jeff, the manager of the store, told me to do this. And they don't have to say anything else. That's their authority. When Jesus sends you somewhere and you say what God said to say this, and that's my authority. Now if Jeff said to do something and then the guy does something else, the guy can call him out on that, because that's not God. That Jeff didn't say that. That's not the authority that Jeff gave him. But God gives us authority, and we can walk in and go, here's what God said. That's why we have to spend time and hear God. When we hear God, we can do what he says. And I notice that when I do my own thing, it's very wasteful and time-consuming. And when you look back at it, you go, yeah, that was, Lord, redeem that time because I just wasted it. But when I do what God wants me to, it's so fruitful. It's incredible. When you speak the words that come out of your mouth, people that are not speaking godly things, they shut up. And it's weird. That shouldn't happen because I know me as a person, when someone's coming at me and I want to go at them, if I'm in the flesh, I'm going to go at them. But when you're speaking the truth and speaking it in love, you can't. You just can't come against it. It's God's word. And it's not anything rational. It's spiritual. It's spiritual because it's, man, because it came out of the mouth of God. So the thing is we all have the same God in us. We all said, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross and you rose again, and I know that you saved my sins. So right then, you gave your life to Christ, and we have the same God in us. And we have the same Holy Spirit that talks to us. And that's fun, that one person can be over here and one person can be over there, and they hear the same word. Or they hear two complementary words, or even words that seem opposite, but they're not. They work together. So what's fun about the body is, like, I know some people like say, well, I've known people that have left the church because they're like, well, I wanted to be a pastor, and they wouldn't let me be a pastor. It's like, wow, that's just a title. And first of all, you don't want to be a pastor. That means you have a lot of responsibility. And one day God's going to come and go, hey, you were a pastor, and what did you do? You know, you don't want that. It's like, man, you don't need a title to do what God wants you to do. Titles are nothing. That's just something man invented. Not important at all. Speaking, you know, listening to God and hearing God and falling in love with God, it's fun. There's things in my life that God is taking away little by little. Actually, just asking me to get, hey, that's distracting you. It's not even bad. It's just a distraction. And it's fun. You get rid of it and you go, wow. And you don't realize, because you don't realize spiritually how it was holding you back. You're like, I had no idea that was taking so much of my mind and heart with it. And you get rid of it, and you're like, and you don't even miss it. You're like, man, I thought that was going to be painful. And you finally listen to God, and you trust Him, and you go, that is awesome. You can hear Him so much more clearly. A problem that I have in my life is I've got a million things going on at all the time. And Mary's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I've got this going on and this going on. I'm taking care of this and this and this. Sometimes you got to just thin it out, because that's distracting you from what you need to be doing or who you need to be listening to. Anyway, hallelujah. What was interesting, I told this also on Tuesday night, because that lady I was talking about, she said, you know, there's only one way to God, and you have to say His name correctly or you can't get saved. I thought that was ridiculous. And I don't know why that mindset didn't transfer to other things, because, you know, for years and years and years I've been praying about understanding healing, because I'm like, God, why is it that when I pray for this person they get healed? And I just chalked it up to, you know, that wasn't your design, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, am I not saying it right? Am I not doing it right? And that's stupid. That's a man thought. A man thinks, well, I got to do it just right, and then God will, you know. And God said to me, and it was so loud, but gentle, but it was so obvious. There's no wrong way to ask God. And then he showed it to me over and over again. He said, when I went down to the pool of Bethesda, the guy was just complaining and griping about how he couldn't get down to the water. And I was just asking him, hey, you want to be healed? And he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. That was not right. That's not the way you come before God. You know, you come humbly and go, oh, God, please. I just want to, you know. And then the woman who snuck up on him in the crowd and just touched his hem, she did not do it right. There's no way. It should not have worked. She wasn't, you know, humble, and she's just, I could just touch his hem. You know, because the problem is we're looking at outward. God's looking here at the heart. There's so many times in the Bible where people, you know, David didn't do it right. But God said he was a man after my own heart. Abraham did not do it right. He kept lying, kept not trusting God. But you know what? God said, I told you to believe in me, and you believed in me, and I'm going to count that as righteousness. It was just his faith. It wasn't even, he didn't do anything. He did nothing. He kept messing up. But his heart was in the right place. God, you know, he already had gods. Abraham already had gods. Some people say he had a good life. They said he was kind of a rich kid. And God said, hey, get rid of everything, come and follow me. You know, and then he went out and he was poor, but then God kept blessing him over and over again. Even after he would mess up, he would lie to some guy, and the guy would say, get out, and here's a bunch of stuff. That's not normal. People don't do that. If you trick them, they don't they don't bless you. That's God. When God has a plan for you, nothing can stop you. So, I liked what Clay said about saved by faith. You're saved by faith, but then we get into works, and a lot of people do that. I visited a church up the road a couple weeks ago. Somebody asked me, they said, well, we're having a conference, and it's about leadership. And I thought, well, this would be awesome. I like leadership. I think that's good, you know. And it didn't have anything to do with leadership. it was a lot of cheerleading and making people feel good about being a Christian. I'm like, this doesn't have anything to do with leadership. I said, where's your maturity? I didn't say anything to anybody. I just got up and left. And it made me really, really appreciate this tiny little church. Because it's a huge church. I mean, they probably have thousands of members. And there's more life in this little tiny church. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know anybody's heart there. I know they love God. But it's like, the leadership was not, I don't know, hallelujah. I can't say that. I can't judge their heart. God says not to judge. It's only his, so only he can judge. I can just see by their fruit. They're doing stuff, but it didn't seem godly to me. It just seemed to lift each other up. That's not what we're supposed to, that's not what we're, you know, we take each other's burdens. That's good. And but we're not, we don't need to pat each other on the back. You know, it was funny when my friend in high school said that to me. What a revelation that was, because I was big into peer pressure. Not me pressuring people, but peer pressure would get a hold of me. He said, "The only person that matters whether he likes you or not is God." And I was like, my mind exploded, and from then on, it didn't matter what anybody said or thought or did towards me. I didn't care. It's like, it only matters what God thinks. The thing is that's where we need to get, where the only thing that matters is what is our relationship with God. And as we get rid of things in our life and focus more on spending time with God and spending time in the Word, speaking in tongues, somebody admonished me last week to say the Lord's Prayer. That's a weird prayer. It does not make any sense to me. I mean, I don't understand it, but it does not make sense. You read it, you're like, forgive me as I forgive other people. You're like, well, that doesn't seem right, because I don't forgive other people. I do, because you're in me forgiving other people, but me as a fleshly person. But you know what? It has to do, Ian said something this week, and it was powerful. I don't even know they know he said it, but he said it. He said, sometimes you just obey. You just obey. And that's true. Sometimes we do things just because God said to do it, not because we I like to understand why I do things, because that's the way my brain works. I'm dyslexic and ADHD and all that, whatever, you know, I'm left-handed, and I like to know how things work. I was the kid in school that was, I didn't like school because I would say to the teacher, I don't understand why we're doing this. Tell me, give me a reason so that I can learn this. And the teacher would say, just learn it. It's like, that's the way God just goes, just obey me. You don't have to understand it. And that's why when you say the Lord's Prayer, it doesn't make sense. It sort of does, but it sort of doesn't. And I'm like, well, is it because it's written wrong? And so I did a deep dive into it. I'm like, did it get changed? Is it? No, it's exactly the way in the Greek. If you look it up in the Greek, it's word for word. I was like, wow. And it's fun. Like the first tells you so much how powerful it is. Our Father who art in heaven. So right now we know we're not talking about our earthly Father. We're talking about our heavenly Father. Holy or hallowed. Some versions say, doesn't say hallowed. Hallowed is awesome. It just means holy. It just means there's, you know, perfect. Holy is your name. I know Paul did this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into the Lord's Prayer. But I thought it was interesting because the person Paul taught on it, and then we went through it in catechism, and then the person said, hey, you need to be using saying the Lord's Prayer. I was like, oh, okay. That's three times, God, that you've said. And it doesn't make sense. I mean, because you look at it and you're like, just, you know, deliver us from evil. Okay, that makes sense. I like that idea. Lead us not into temptation. That doesn't make any sense. Why would God lead us into temptation? God doesn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. But we don't understand everything. And we're not to understand everything. We're just to obey. God said, hey, if you don't know what to pray, pray this. It would have confused me. Even the description in the little book, I'm like, I think Luther wrote it. I don't know who wrote that little book. I was like, yeah, that still doesn't explain it very well to me. So it's just obedience. One day God may reveal it to me, and that would be awesome. I'd love a good revelation on that. But it's not necessary. I don't have to know what God means by it. I just need to obey it. Say it. Just, you know, it's powerful. I'm going to read today out of Ephesians 4, which is kind of, Philippians 4. That's a different Ian's. It's good. We're a family, and we each have a purpose, and we're each important. I think that's the problem is sometimes you think, well, what purpose is that? I mean, there are certain people in my life and I have to pray about, God, what does that person have in your kingdom? What purpose do they have? They don't seem like they have a purpose. But you know what? They do. And it's not for me. How wicked of me to think they don't have a purpose. That is evil. God, they're precious in God's sight and they have a reason and a purpose. They may seem squirrely or odd or whatever. But that's the type of person that may reach some person that I can't reach. You know, people have asked me to go to a jail ministry before. I'm like, I'd go into a jail and people are like, I'm going to tell you about God. By the way, I've never done anything wrong in my life. I've never been to jail, never even come close to going to jail. I have no clue, you know. But that doesn't mean I can't reach that person. It doesn't mean I can't reach that person. Like Monty, Monty's not been homeless. I've never been homeless. That doesn't mean I can't reach the homeless people. Because what I have to say has nothing to do with my status or stature or ability. It has to do with the words that are coming out of my mouth that are God's words. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, dearly beloved, so this is the very last chapter of the book. Dearly beloved and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So, that's what we are to each other. We're dearly beloveds to each other. I'm blessed every time I see you guys, any of you guys. You guys are beloved to me. And that's what Paul is saying, you know. I beseech Euodias and beseech that guy that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Psychne, I don't know how to say his name. I'm glad my parents did not give me that name. Is it a woman? Could be a woman. Definitely glad my parents didn't give me that name. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Okay, that's good. It's good to be of the same mind. So that person that's online and she's... I rebuked her this morning. I said, you need to stop posting online until you get your theology straight. I probably shouldn't have done that, but I did. I said, because it's very destructive to people. So you're going to cause people to not know God. And they will run. Because, I mean, that does two things. It either puts people in bondage, and then they hate God and hate themselves for not being holy. Or they go, I can never do that, and then they just run away from God. That is not, I mean, the problem with people when they interpret Scripture is every bit of the Bible has to line up. And if it doesn't line up with what you're saying, then it's not accurate. You can't take a Scripture out of context and say, well, it means this. And you're like, no, it does not mean that, because that doesn't line up with this Scripture, and this Scripture. So you need to go back to God and say, God, what does this mean? I intend thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. It's fun, that phrase came up a few weeks ago in catechism. They're like, what's the book of life? I was like, oh, let me tell you. So the young gal, the Cammy, who had been wrestling with whether or not she wanted to be part of God's family, gave her life to Christ. That's awesome. Hope she doesn't mind that I told that. But it's good. You know, the angels in heaven rejoice over one giving their life to Christ. She liked the idea of Jesus, but she didn't know. She's like, do I trust this guy? And she did. And she did. I said, your name's going to be here. I said, then you spend eternity with your new sister and your brothers and your mom, and you'll see your mom when you get to heaven. It's good. So we're all fellow laborers, but some of us do one thing and some of us do another. That's the unique thing about the body. If we all did the same thing, then all the other stuff wouldn't get done. And so we each have a purpose, and we each have a plan, and we each have a unique gift that God gave us. Whose names are in the Lamb's book of life, or in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's good. I know, I was thinking earlier, the fiery furnace. I love that story, because I think you were talking about it. I don't know who was talking about it. But you know what people don't mention is, they didn't say, hey God, we don't want to go through the furnace. Jesus even said, you know, Father, if I don't have to die on this cross. But you know what? Jesus died on the cross, and those men went into the furnace. And the 23rd Psalm is in the valley of the shadow of death. You go through that, but God already has a plan. You're going through the troubles. We don't have to not have the troubles. That's what's fun. That's how the world can get confused, is when you're rejoicing. I always think that when, it hasn't happened in a long time, but when my truck gets broken into and the police officer shows up and I'm in a good mood. I should not be. I should not be in a good mood. But I'm like, God will bless me out of this somehow. When we go through troubles, we know. We don't have to worry about it. I mean, the fun thing about that story, I love that they put that in there. Not only did they not get burned up, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. It's like, and they trusted in God so much. Could we do that? Man, we can. I know we can. That's a question. That's not even a question. We could do that. Because that's how much we trust God. Go through the furnace. And we may have to one day. I mean, we do all the time in little tiny ones, but a real, not an actual furnace. But I don't know. You never know. People are crazy. Some people are crazy in this country, and they probably wouldn't mind. But we love them anyways. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So it's good. It's good. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think that's important. That is so important. It brings up, there's another scripture that says you can't add one thing to your life by worrying. So it's like, I don't know why years ago I latched on. So it's funny in my life when God takes strongholds, but when I latched on to this thing where I knew that God said that he would always provide for me. And no matter how dire it gets, He always provides for me and my wife. And I always thought it's great. Once I got married, I was like, well, God, now you have to provide for me and my wife, so you got more on your plate. And now I've got a daughter, so you got to provide for all three of us. So definitely you got to do something for me, because I got two people I got to take care of. You've put them under for me to take care of. So you got to come through. You know what? I don't even doubt it anymore. Work can die. It could be dead. And I'm like, yeah, there's no work. And I could freak out about it, and I could be upset and worry. But there's no point. What does that do? That just distracts me from spending time with God and hearing God. I mean, God may give me 2 weeks off to do nothing and to spend time with Him, or to spend time with my family, or to get stuff done around the house. You know, we own a house and it always needs to be fixed. Brenna, she's probably in the back. Don't buy a house. They always need to be fixed. It's a never ending. It's good. It's good. Hallelujah. But it's good to go through the fire. It's good to go through the fire. Man. That's not even where I was at, was I? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's good. I know in the old days I used to try to figure things out, and now I just immediately take them to God. I'm like, man, I'm going to save so much time. I'll just go right to the source. God, how do I work this out? God, give me an answer. And it's not always what I think. It's not always how I want to do it. But it's good. God should always be your first person to go to when you have a problem. Or even when you don't have a problem, just go to God. But it's good. He, like a parent, always wants to solve a child's problem. Always. Sometimes it's good to let the child go through whatever they need to go through so that they learn. It's hard as a parent to let a child do that. You don't want them to get hurt, ever. But if they don't get hurt, then they're not going to understand how to be safe. You know. So sometimes we got to go through stuff so that God can teach us. And at peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's good. When you're at peace, you can hear God. When you're in turmoil, you cannot. I know when I've got too much going on, Mary will tell you this, I'll shut down and do nothing. If I got 20 things to do that have to be done, I'll just go, yeah, I'm just going to watch TV. Because I'm freaking out. But if I'm spending time with God, if I, you know, speak in tongues and say the Lord's Prayer, get quiet before God, He clears my mind, and then I can get each task done one at a time. And then they start to get done, and then I get excited. I'm like, oh, they're getting done! You know, so it doesn't help to freak out. I still do it from time to time. Mary will tell you. So she calls it spinning. You're spinning, Dave. I know. My wheels are going, but then I'm not going anywhere. So it's okay. What's good is I know it, and I know that God knows it, and God can use who you are. God created you exactly who you are, and He can use all your inadequacies. You know, I've told you in the past, there's no way I would have met my wife if I wasn't a procrastinator. And God used that for me to meet my wife, because I should have been at the conference, 2 conferences before, but because I was a procrastinator, I didn't fill out my form in time. And God knew that, because He wanted me to meet Mary and to have Gabby. So God uses what you think are problems, and He uses them to His benefit and to your benefit. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Did I skip the last verse? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's good. That's how the devil gets you. You know that, right? That's through your mind. He'll deceive you. I think somebody said something, and I said, my answer to it was, when someone gives their life to Christ, the best thing the devil can do is distract you, make you of no account. You know, he can even do it through, like, that church I was visiting. It seemed like, you know, if you look at it, you think, well, this is definitely God's work. And I don't think it was. I don't think it was bad. Nothing on was going bad there, but it's like, I don't think this is what God had in mind. And the devil can use religion to keep you from doing God's work. He can use YouTube or Facebook, or which I can get lost on both of those. I think I'm going to fast those. I may not, but I think I should. So a brother was asking me to fast, and I was thinking, I don't need to fast food. I probably need to fast, because I don't have a problem with food. I could eat it or not eat it, but I need to fast Facebook. That'd be good, because that can take me away from hearing God, because I could get lost in it. And that's the whole purpose of it. You guys know that, right? It's to distract you and keep you distracted and keep you clicking the next thing and clicking the next thing, clicking the next thing. It's good. Man, the devil is brilliant. You know, they design all this stuff nowadays with colors and psychology. I don't believe in psychology, but you know what they call it, psychology. They understand how the mind works and how dopamine works, and they can get it so that you just get sucked in. That's why you got to put that stuff down and spend time with God. I'm speaking more to myself than you guys. You guys probably don't have a you guys probably don't enjoy Facebook as much as I do. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Man, it's good. It's good. And it's true. I know it was funny one time. I don't know why this thought came to mind. It was a friend of mine that I worked with, and he would say, "Well, I know if I do right, God will bless me." And I had this revelation. I was like, "I'm God's kid. Whether I do right or whether I do wrong, God's going to bless me. You're doing a work. You're making a work so that God will bless you. That's dumb. A parent always wants to bless a child. I want to bless my daughter even when she's doing wrong. I mean, I want to give her a spanking, and she's going to get one. But I still want to bless her. And oddly enough, the spanking is a blessing. And she doesn't know that. She doesn't see it as that. I didn't see it that way as a child. I did not know spankings were a blessing. But they are, because they stop me from doing things. I want my child to be blessed. So Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. And a lot of people will say, well, I love Jesus, so I've got to do his commandments. But that's wrong. That's a wrong way of interpreting it. It's like, if you love me, you're going to do my commandments. And it's true. When you're in love with somebody, you want to bless them, and you'll do them. It's like when Dad would say that the Ten Commandments are not commandments, they're promises. Since I love Jesus, I will do his commandments, since I love him. It's not a work. It's just a reaction to me loving him. I want to bless my wife. Since I love her, I want to bless her. But it's not a work. It's not hard for me to want to bless her. Except for when I'm selfish. That's part of me that has to die. You know, sometimes we get selfish and we go, ah, flesh, you're not alive anymore. You're dead. The flesh goes, not dead yet. And you go, yes, you are. You're dead. That was a Monty Python reference. Come on, guys. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and God and the God of peace shall be with you. So it's good. So Paul is saying, hey, we're to be examples. I mean, it's good. I remember back when I worked at Best Buy a gajillion years ago. And a guy came up to me. He goes, I'm not a believer, but I can tell you know who God is and you trust him. And I'm like, whoa, ow. I mean, I had long hair. They called me Jesus because I had long hair and a beard. I didn't swear at him. You know, I didn't go to the places that they would go to after work. But it's like he could tell by my countenance. That wasn't me. That was God in me. That was fun. Man, that lifted me up to have someone see that in me. You're like, wow, God is living in me. And he saw God in me. We're all that way. You know, I mean, anyway, I'm going to keep going. Those things which ye have done, both learned and received and heard. So we're to be examples of what it is to be in Christ. And that's hard sometimes. Until, I mean, but not if you're spending time in the Word every day and being with God every day, which seems, sometimes it can seem, you're like, how could I do that? But the more you do it, you learn to desire it. It's weird. It's like, it's just because your flesh is fighting it. You're like, what? I don't know. I'd rather do this than that. But then the more you spend time with God, the more you crave it. And you're like, man, I want to spend some more time with God. And I want to spend some more time with God. I want to understand Him more. I don't even know how unfathomable God is. And this is what we have that we know about Him. And how much more do we not know about Him? Because this is what we know. And it's like, I want to know everything, God. I want to know who You are. And then it makes you think, you know, when James and John ask, hey, we want to be at Your right hand. He's like, hey, you're going to have to take up your cross. And they're like, oh, yeah, we could do it. And they had no clue. It's like, yeah, I can do it. And then you're like, whoa. But it's good. We know. Because of James and John, we know. I may have to give up everything. It's like I've talked about the Alamo before. Those guys have no idea that we're standing here in this state because they gave up their life so that we could worship God. They have no idea because they're dead. But they did it. And that we may have to be that way. We may have to give up our life so that other people can have the freedom to worship God, to know who God is. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at least your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. That's good. Are you guys there? Whatever state I'm in, I'm content. It's like, if I don't have any work, I'm content. If I have too much work, I gripe a little if I have too much work. I'm content. You know, it's like it's dumb to complain and gripe about. I mean, somebody posted a video, I don't remember what it was. It was like, it's like if your bills are too high, there's some guy that doesn't have a house. You know, if you drive a car and it's breaking down all the time, there's some guy that has to walk. You know, it's like, whatever you're complaining about, there's somebody else that's got it worse than you. It's like, you know, if you're worried about your cold, there's somebody that's got cancer. You know, it's like. Whatever state I am in, I am content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I instruct both to be full and to be hungry and to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. And I always change this to say, who is my strength? Because we know, like David was saying, Christ didn't all of a sudden give us some supernatural strength and now we're strong. It's like, no, it's Christ in us that's our strength. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Anyway, I want to end with this. It kind of goes back to that woman who said you can only be saved by using the correct name of God. I saw a video that brought me to tears this week. In short, it was this Iranian guy, and it was funny, but it was powerful. And he said he was in a mosque, and he would go to the mosque every day. They had to go three times a day, and they'd say this stuff in Arabic. And he said, I didn't even know what I'm saying. He goes, I don't speak Arabic, I'm Persian. And so he said to God one day, he goes, God, I don't understand why you can't understand me if I'm speaking Persian. I'm not coming to your dumb mosque anymore. If you're real, come find me. And so he stopped going. And 7 days later, God gave him a dream at like 5:30 in the morning. And he woke up. And he's like, whoa. Jesus came to him. And he handed him some pieces of paper. It's like, wow. He goes, all I know of Jesus is he's some nice guy. And he woke up and he went to his mom, and his mom and his sister were sitting there and they were crying. And he's like, what's going on? And they're like, we just had a dream and Jesus came and visited us. And he's like, oh, what was your dream? And they had the exact same dream that he had. And he's like, whoa, who is this Jesus guy? We don't know who he is. How are we going to find out who he is? And all of a sudden there was a knock at the door and their neighbor came down. And he said, hey, I have something for you. God told me to give this to you. And he put a Bible on the table. And they said, well, if you've known about this Jesus guy for so long, why haven't you told us about him before? And he's like, it wasn't time. And he said, well, how do you know about him? And they said, well, we had a dream. And he said, what was the dream? And they shared the dream. He goes, that's the exact same dream that I had. And when I woke up, God said, they're ready to receive me, take a Bible down to them. That's like, there was no way for those people to know who Jesus was. And Jesus showed up in a dream to four different people and gave them the same dream. It's like, we can't limit God. When God wants to do a thing, he's going to do a thing. So remember, we are his people, and we speak with authority. So don't ever be afraid to share the word, even if it makes you look foolish, or because we think it's going to make us look foolish. But when you're sharing the word of God, it's not going to go on deaf ears or unheard. It's the word of God. And people will be changed. People's lives will be impacted. Even if it's not, because in the Bible says some sow and others reap. So you may not be the person that gets to see it. And that doesn't even matter. I'm just excited to see that person in heaven. I don't need the glory to be the one that go, I got that person saved. That's not even important. Who cares? Just the fact that they're saved, that's what's important. The fact that they're going to get to know who their creator was. It's fun. God is exciting. And people need to know that. As a kid, you think God's boring. Oh, I got to go to church again. No. It's not. It's so much fun because we don't understand as kids. Actually, my daughter does. She loves God. She goes, walks around the house singing songs to Jesus. She still doesn't understand who it is, but she's just doing it because she sees mom and dad doing it. She just dances and sings, and it's good. That's the way we should be. Just not even worried about how silly we look dancing or singing or anything like that. Just worshiping God and, you know, be in love. All right, I'm going to stop with that. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful weather that we're having and all the plants budding and blooming and spring coming and the weather warming up. Thank you, Father. The weatherman was wrong and it didn't get to 38 this morning. Thank you, Father, for everyone that is in here hearing your word. You are awesome. Thank you for loving us just as we are and perfecting us daily, growing us up, giving us each other so that iron sharpens iron, so that we can admonish each other and lift each other up and correct each other in love and then take each other's burdens. Thank you, Father, that we are not alone. We have you and we have the body. Let everyone be safe in their travels today and their speech be edifying to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.